you would give me your love, then I could. I know I could if you would, Lord. And the Word says, He'll say to me, I gave it to you. Trust me. I gave it to you. What if in the middle of very difficult, tumultuous experience that you would have, Jesus would stand before you and say, I want you to be at peace, like I am at peace. You would say, I can't. How could I be at peace when all of this is going on around me? I can't be at peace. And you know, and I know that there's many things that come into our experience that leave us with little peace and a lot of turmoil. And yet Jesus says, I want you to be at peace. And you say, I can't. Well, if I just block everything out of my mind and start thinking something else, then maybe I could be at peace. But I still wouldn't be at peace, and you know you wouldn't be at peace either. But if Jesus would say, I'll just give you my peace, that's all right. I'll just give you my peace and you can live in my peace. And then I would say, if you would give me your peace, then I would have peace. And it would be as good as yours because it would be yours and it wouldn't have anything to do with me. It would be your peace. And if somebody did something to me, and I thought that I had borne long enough, but Jesus stood before me and He said, I want you to suffer longer with that person. I would say, I suffered long enough. Why would I have to suffer longer? I gave Him plenty of time. And Jesus said, I'm suffering longer with Him. And I want you to suffer longer with me, and I'll give you my long suffering. What if that was our experience? Just in those couple things. What if that was our experience every day? I naturally don't suffer long with anybody. And people who know me know that too. And if I end up suffering longer, they know that there's something different about me than what's normal, because I normally don't suffer long with other people. And maybe part of the reason that I don't is because I think I'm have arrived in whatever it is that they haven't arrived in. And so I have this exalted opinion of myself, sort of up beyond the highest star. But God's love comes up and pulls me back down from the highest star, and He says, I want you to come down here where I live. And I want you to suffer longer with your brother. And I say, he doesn't deserve it. And then Jesus said, would say, but my suffering keeps on going. You know how long I suffered with you? You know how long suffering I was with you? That's how I want to be in you towards him or towards her. And those are just a couple thoughts that I think are things that we ought to think about. And some of the reason that we're slow in prayer and personal in prayer and intense in prayer is because we don't really see ourselves. Don't. If I would see myself every day in the situations that I face, like the first one where God says, I want you to love that brother or that sister the way I love him. And if I would meditate on that and I would say, and then he would start bringing back the revelation in 1 Corinthians 13 where it tells what love is. And I would start comparing that revelation of the love of God with the way I respond to my brothers and sisters, pretty soon I would be in desperation. Because I would say, I don't come anywhere close to that. And Jesus said, that's what I came to save. That's what I came to make whole in you. I came to do that. And if you will listen to me, and if you will heed my spirit, that's what I'll be in you. And when I am that in you, you will be that to your brother. Religion can't take you there. No can-do, no steps of progress, no psychological bending and twisting, and no looking into your past and seeing why you might have that problem that you can't love like you ought to love, and going down the psychopath until you're frustrated. None of the psychology and none of the religion, nothing can do that. Nothing. But Jesus can. Jesus will do that in you if you'll trust Him. He'll do that in me if I'll trust Him. And I've been a Christian pretty many years, and I came across this understanding. It's a scripture, and I don't know where it's found. But it talks about growing exceedingly in love and in faith. And so I look back the 45 years that I named the name of Christ. And let's turn to 1 Corinthians just for a moment. It's pretty many years since I took the name of Christ. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. The word saint there comes from the word holy, called to be holy. That's the calling that we have. Sometimes people want to know, well, God, what's your will for me? That is called to be a saint, which just means that I'm called to love my brother the way Jesus loves me. Because I'm another one of the ones that Jesus loves. And He wants my love to go towards you and your love to come towards me in the same way that His love does. Because it is His love. See? I don't have to try and tune up my love. I don't have to try and supercharge the love that I have, which isn't very good at best. He says, I will give you my love so that you can love others as I love you. That's the genius of salvation. That was what was in the Father's heart, in the Father's mind when He sent His Son to die so that His blood could set us free from ourself. So that the love that we didn't even have, because whatever little love we have couldn't even be called love when it's placed beside the love of God. You couldn't even call it love because it isn't. And when the Savior came, He said, I'm going to give back to you everything that the devil took away. Because I'm the head of all principality. I'm the head of all powers. I have subdued the devil and I have crushed his head. And if you will walk with me, he has no power. None. And I have all power. That's the Savior that came to save. Is that the Savior that we know? Or do we know that Savior, I should ask? That's the Savior that He is. Well, this is what it says, that we're called to be saints. And this is the part that, to me, is precious. to be a saint. You're called to be a saint. With all, this is beautiful. With all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus. If you were to look up that call upon the name, it would carry this idea that our surname, Jake, do I have it right? You're Jake, that's your given name, right? What's your surname? Your surname, yeah. Hostetler. So it's Jake Hostetler. I'm Dave Whitmer. Mark Miller. His surname is Miller. Now just think of this. He says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, that means that he set them apart from all that they ever were, and he called them to be like him, to be saints, and then he says, with all that in every place, take the name of Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Christ is the anointed one. And so if you think that, and this is true, let God be true and let every man be a liar. This is the truth. And if you'll think on the truth will lead you to freedom. You'll become free. Well, everyone who calls upon the name of Christ, the anointed one, gets the anointing. And we have an unction from the Holy One. And need not that any man teach us. Because the anointing that comes is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the character and nature of the Holy Spirit within the saved person will be reflected in the character and nature of that saved person. Always that way. It's never different. Because salvation is the presence of Jesus Christ in the heart of the believer. That's salvation. There isn't any other salvation. And that is salvation. Because it restores the believer back to what God did in the first place when he said to Adam, you're perfect. Oh, you're wonderful. I like it. It's very good. So Jesus comes and he restores it so that he can stand back and say of Abner Christ, it's very good. I did it all. And I give it to you. And if you will receive it by faith and live in it by faith, and those who live in the Spirit, let them also walk in the Spirit. And if you will walk with me, then you will love like I love. And your peace will be the peace that I possess. And your joy will be the joy that has no limit, because it's my joy. What if you had a whole congregation of people who truly lived that way? Those congregations, we're probably one of them. I like to think we're not. That would probably make me like the Pharisee. There are congregations, and this is typical of congregations. I'm trying to think what our problem is. You can tell me what my problem is. I can't see my problem. You can see my problem. There are congregations who latch on to something and think they have the ultimate of that experience. And when they're together, and I know people like this, when they're together, they're all fired up. But when I get with them, they don't even look at me. What kind of spirit is that? Is that the Holy Spirit that acts that way? Gets with his friend and they get all excited. Boy, hallelujah, brother. And I come past them and I thought that I was sort of like them. But I'll come past them and they'll turn the other way. And say, Lord, who is that? Or is it me? Lord, can't you stand me? Is it me that you and them can't stand me? Is that the problem? Now, can that be me, maybe? That when you come by me, I just sort of... Yeah, he never did get it. He does so many things that I can't believe he... I mean, he's just totally dead. Or whatever. He's so worldly. couldn't have the Spirit of God. Or you know the things that go on in your thoughts. But listen, when the Holy Spirit dwells in the heart of the believer, he is made new. Everything in him is new, and faith believes that. So that when I experience the experiences that come my way, and God passes me by with lots of experiences over and over throughout the day, and every experience that comes past me, he says, "Will you walk with me, my saved son? Will you walk with me and let me be your strength? And let me do all things through you because I'll strengthen you." How many know that verse? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I can't get along with my brother. I think he's stupid. I can't get along with my mother because I think she doesn't know anything either. And so it goes. But we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians, what's the reference? What is it? 4:13. That's, now you got it. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you really believe that? Or is that just a verse that you memorized when you were a child and you know it ever since? These are questions that you ought to ask yourself. And I must ask myself. Is Christ truly in me? And I want to share two other examples yet to illustrate this wonderful truth. That when Jesus comes to me, he comes to me because he loves me. And he comes to me because he died and finished the work so that he could restore me to perfection. I will never be perfect in my own strength. There's no way I couldn't even come close to it. I'm so human and so fallen and so flawed that no matter how hard I tried, I could never be that. But if I will look to him, he has the power to make me exactly like himself. How many believe that? How many live that way? Well, to put your hand up would be pride. But you can't. I understand you can't put your hand up, even though you think that you're there. And we almost don't want to think that as a possibility. But then God's not true. And we make out that he's a liar because he said, that's what I'll do for you. And I just look at our congregation, and I look at your congregation, and I look at congregations that we go to, and all the things that I know from all of my life. And I was looking for something the other night, and I went through a stack this big of papers of things that I had preached. Put in a stack. And as I was reading over them, and just glancing at them as I was looking for something else, I said to myself and to the Lord, I don't think it did any good. I don't think all those words did anything. It sure doesn't seem like that it did. It doesn't even seem like it helped me much. Because I seem to stumble as quickly and as often as I did 10 years ago. And so I can be religious and just say, oh, that's my human weakness. That's my humanity. And there's nothing I can do about it. I mean, we're going to fall. Let God be true. And every man a liar. We want to give glory to God. And we often say, well, I hope that God gets the glory from and God be with us today and glorify yourself in the things which we do. The way he glorifies himself, if I understand the word, is that he reveals himself in your character. That's how he gets glory. He reveals himself to me, and I walk in the strength of his presence, and it's unnatural. And so it glorifies him. He gets glory when I respond with the love that he gives me. when I love my wife that way, when I love my children that way, when I love my brother that way, when I love my neighbor that way, when I love those that would arrange themselves against me to do me hurt, I still love them too that way. Because I can't not love them, because I walk in the love of God. And so everything that was in Him, when Jesus came to the cross, is everything that He put in me. That's true. Then what blinds our eyes to what's true that we don't know the strength of it? That's the question that I ask myself and I ask you today. Do you know the Savior? Now I want to turn to Luke chapter 13. This is, to me, is so beautiful. It's Jesus. Verse 10 says, "And Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself." That's me. That's you. You could in no wise lift up yourself. And that word is translated elsewhere in the Scripture as uttermost. And it says that she couldn't lift herself up, no, not to the uttermost. I mean, there was nothing she could do that could she could lift herself up. One of the brothers of church was giving a children's message the other week, and he said that there was, in the Guinness Book of World Records, there was a man who hiccuped for 18 years, hiccuping. Wouldn't that be a drow? Well, it says that 60,000 people sent remedies to him over the 8 years, 60,000. And he was nothing better. They just kept right on going. Now, maybe the 60,001 could have been some kind of a suit that he could have put on that the jerk wouldn't be seen when he hiccup. And then he would have this voice that would play back when people would ask him things. And he would be dying inside there, and they wouldn't see the hiccup and they wouldn't hear it. They would hear this voice and they would see this well-suited person. And so now he's finally free of his hiccuping. It's all covered up. He can only say the things that are played, that would play back on this tape. We could push the button and this message or that message. Sometimes we put on things to hide the jerk too that's inside. For 8 years, he hit it. And maybe that's why we don't have so much to say, because we can only push this button. Oh, I need to answer this way. So push this button. Oops. Push that button, and the right words come out. Well, for 8 years he couldn't stop, but after a while he did stop. But this woman for 18 years was bent over, and she couldn't, I mean, she was utterly bound in it. And Jesus, this is the beautiful part. She could in no wise lift herself up. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity." And she stood up. That which she could never seem to do when the Lord said, "Woman, you're loose." Think of that. What you and I can't ever seem to quite do. And so we cover it up with this practice or that practice or the other practice. And we put forth something that satisfies us or satisfies the people that have expectations about us. But the love that says, "Will you love?" And Jesus would come and say, "Dave, you're utterly loosed from your infirmity. You mean that I can't love?" Yeah. That infirmity. You mean I could love like you love me? And he says, that's what I came to do. Now we know the fruit of the Spirit too. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. They're all there. And they're all the character of the Savior. Now I want to show you one more verse and then I'm done. Hebrews, because this is to me the clincher for faith. This is the clincher for faith. Hebrews chapter 2, the same word as she could in no wise lift up herself. It means that she was so completely taken in this infirmity that there was nothing that she could do. It completely and fully possessed her. Verse 11 of chapter 2 says, and it's speaking of Jesus, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, they're all one. See? They're all one. That means that the sanctifier, the Savior who comes to me, makes me like him. If I'll believe it, if I can trust him, that's what faith is supposed to do, and that's what's supposed to comprise the entire congregation of believers. That he who sanctifies and they who are sanctified are made into one. One. For which cause he's not ashamed to call me his brother. Because he made me his brother. The same DNA, the same blood, the same seed, John says, he put in my heart. The same seed that he possesses, he puts in me. And he makes me him. In reality. That's what I'm supposed to believe. That's where my hope comes from. That's why Paul could say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So I labor to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Because when he comes in, he makes you like himself. That's why you can say that the saved and the Savior have the same nature and the same character. And people walk around saying they got saved or they got the Spirit or whatever. And it hardly ever looks like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It hardly ever looks like that. It hardly ever looks like, and the wisdom that comes from above is first pure, then peaceable, then easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It hardly ever looks like that. So then what is it? It's something else. Let God be true, that your faith might rest in the promise. And let me be the liar and say, I don't really believe that he can do it in me. I don't really want to give myself to him to that extent so that he can be that in me. There's too many unfulfilled desires in my own heart that I'm going to fulfill. And so I want something that lets that there and gives me him too. Oh my, and that's the trouble, is that we don't think. We don't meditate long enough. We don't think clearly enough. That religion blinds our eyes, no matter what that religion might be. All the way from the far right to the far left, they're all wrong. Religion is always wrong. And it's something that people pick out of the truth and they dwell on it. But it isn't the presence of life. It's only a thing of knowledge that they grasp and say, oh, I got the truth now. You have to have the life. This is where it goes to say that he makes us one with him. And he's not ashamed of us. And he says, it's my brother David Christ. He's taken my name. And let those who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Those who are surnamed, same word. Those who are surnamed Christ, Abraham. You're as old as Abraham, I know. But you're not Abraham. You're as big as Abner. And probably as powerful as Abner. You are Abner. Abner Christ. He gets along well with David Christ. He gets along well with him because they are the same person. And that's why he could say in Ephesians chapter 2 that he broke down the middle wall partition between them and made them both one. Because it's by his life that you become one with him and one with your brother. It can't be done any other way. Verse 12 says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God gave me. We're all His children. We all take the surname Christ, the Anointed One. I'm His Anointed One. He anoints me with His Holy Spirit and gives me the grace and the power and the knowledge and the wisdom and the love and all that He is. He gives it to me. He says, if you live in the Spirit, then go walking in the Spirit too. Let your character be a reflection of the One who saved you. Let all that's within you come forth and glorify God. Because this is what He did. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also took part of the same, so that through death He could destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, which He did. And because He destroyed him, He gave me the opportunity to come out from under His power and come out from under the nature that I have been born with and live with, that I could come free from that, because He is now over all principalities and powers, and He put the devil to death as far as spiritual experience is concerned. And that's what it says there, that He destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and He delivered me, who through fear of death was all my lifetime subject to bondage. Oh, I'm sorry. That isn't the one. But that's a good one. That's not the one I wanted. I wanted chapter 7. Sorry about that. That was good enough to stay there. But this is the one that I really wanted. But this man, that was a good prelude anyway. Because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able. I'm not. He is. And that's who we sing of. And that's why I say that as you heard the songs, they were speaking of what God can do in the heart of the one who believes. Wherefore, verse 25 says, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. He ever liveth. And when He comes to you, and when He comes to me, and this is the glory of the gospel, and it's the glory that we ought to live in, He gives us His glory. And when His glory is present with us, we are able to live a reflection of all of His character. And it only takes knowledge for faith to come. And so in the experiences that pass us by day, we begin to understand how it is that the Spirit of God within us wants us to respond. And so we say, Lord, I'm going to trust You for this response, because I know that You want me to love like You love. And I can't do it, but You can do it. And so that's what I'm saying, that if you could really see yourself the way you are by yourself, it would drive you to continual prayer. It would. Because you would see that everything you try and do, you can't do. Not the way He would do it. You can do it religiously, but you can't do it like Him. And the character and nature of the saved person is the same as the character and nature of the Savior. There is no difference. There is no difference. And so if I'm saying, yeah, I got the Spirit, I want to make sure that it's not a religious spirit. Because the Spirit that comes upon us, whom He anoints us with, will move us as we trust in Him. It doesn't mean that we do everything right, because you don't see everything right. But as you see it, you believe. And as you believe, it becomes a reality. He will do it in us and through us. And that's the glory of the gospel. And that's the Savior who came to save me. And I want to know Him in every part and in every way. And I want you to know Him too. Because if God's people would know the Savior the way the Scripture reveals the Savior, the church would be a glorious place. It would be, this congregation would shine with glory, and Coquelico would shine with glory, and all the other churches, they would shine with the character of Jesus Christ, so much so that people would either hate you with a passion, or they would be drawn to us with an intense desire to say, where did you ever get that? How did you ever accomplish that? That's what God wants to happen. And if we will walk in faith, and we will walk in prayer, and we will believe the truth instead of saying, well, it can't ever be that way, and stop making excuses and stop saying all the things that we say, and start trusting and start following, it will change you. And when it changes you, you will make a difference, as Kurt pointed out. And when he changes me, then that will be two of us. See? And we pray sometimes for revival for the church. Let's just say, God, help me to see you. I want to see you. Because I want to know you in your fullness. I want you to save me to the uttermost. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you that your love is overflowing and that your character has no limit to its goodness. And the power and the restoration and the resurrection that you promised to us is beyond this world. And it's almost beyond our comprehension. We almost can't believe it. In fact, it seems like too often we don't believe it. So help our unbelief, Father. Help us to see that you called our name. Just like you called the woman and said, "Woman, you're loosed from your infirmity." Oh, you Father, you call us to loose us, to set us free, and then to make us new. Help us to catch a glimpse of that this morning, that we might move a little bit, or we might move a lot. Whichever it might be, Father, we want to move, and we want to become like Jesus. And so, take away our unbelief. Take away our doubt. Touch us, Father, and give us the desire to be nothing but like you. Bless us to that end, we pray in the name of Jesus.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.